Job 36. Listen, two more chapters of Elihu. Hold on. And then God's going to speak. Yay. And then we're going to get some answers. You say answers. I thought Job didn't have answers. Well, it does, and it does. The closest it comes to an answer will be the beginning of tonight. You hear 36 chapters of people speak, two chapters of narratives, the first couple chapters, right? And then 34 chapters of people speaking. And what do you get with 34 chapters of people speaking? A lot of confusion, sometimes some truth, a lot of error mixed in. That's the lesson, as far as I'm concerned. He can go on and on, wah, 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 and some of it will be good stuff, and some of it will be doggerel, drivel, piffle, balderdash, and some I can't think of anything else. And words like that. If I was a thesaurus, I'd do better. Job 36. Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little. Oh, man, we've been suffering you for three chapters already. He's got five chapters here. This is four out of five. Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Listen, that's a presumption. I don't always want to presume. I feel I'm on safe soil when I'm quoting the Word of God directly. God said this. And his book, chapter, and verse. Once you start opining, it may or may not be the Word of God. It may expound the Word of God. It may not. It may be your opinion. And your opinion may or may not be helpful. But he's saying, I'm going to tell you what God wants me to say. I'm the spokesman for God. Everyone with their collar turned on backwards all across the country thinks they're a spokesman for God. And some are and some aren't. I don't know how else to say it. How can we find out? Well, when God starts to speak. And the closer you agree with God, the better you are. I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. And he does. Yeah, I really don't know what to make of Elihu. This is not the first time that I've read the book of Job. It's the first time I taught on it in this church, and I think maybe the first time I've actually taught on it. I'm not sure. I don't know what to make of Elihu. He says some stuff that just, he's harsh on Job, like his friends are, but he has his heart in the right place. He really wants to ascribe righteousness to his Maker. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. These things are true. Who's on the other side of that debate? He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Unrighteous people live for a long time too. He preserveth not the life of the wicked. So if you're unrighteous, you should die at like 37, 14. Pick a magic number. But if you're righteous, you should live to be 171, right? That's not even sensible. He preserveth not the life of the wicked. And in that he's saying about Job, like you, but he giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. He sets up one, he puts down another. But don't think that has anything to do with righteousness. For if they be bound in fetters and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Now, we talked about this a little bit in this morning's message. The disciples are astonished at the rich young ruler. Jesus says, how hard it is for those with riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And they're astounded. He says, you know, it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. But this is the thought. This is the whole thought. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. And again, the whole inference, the whole time here is not like you, Job. If you are a righteous dude, that's who your problem is right here. You're just not righteous. And if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth. Their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. Verse 60, even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. He'd like to have you blessed, Job, but the answer is because he can't, because verse 13, you're a hypocrite. Verse 17, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee. You only get what you deserve, in other words, which isn't true at all, because there is wrath. Beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard. Take heed, regard not iniquity. For this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Well, I don't think anyone's saying that, Elihu. It's easy to build a straw man. You've heard a straw man argument. Can we talk about that? This is your argument. You tell somebody their argument, and then you defeat their argument that you invented, a straw man. People do that about me all the time. They're arguing with something that I supposedly said, that I never have said, never would say, never thought of saying. And they're on the same team as me, because I am against what you said, you're saying too, that you're defeating in your argumentation. The only problem is, I never said that. Nor would I. It's a straw man. Much of this argumentation is a straw man. Remember that thou hast magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it, man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great. Okay, that's true. And we know him not. That's true also, to a large degree. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. True. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Listen, you'll know nothing about this. He's going to come and tell us all about it. Which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. He's talking about the rain, right? God's going to give us a lesson in rain technology. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people. He giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine. By the cloud that cometh betwixt, the noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. Chapter 37. If I'm rushing through this, if it sounds like I'm rushing through it, I kind of am. We go over the fine points, but that's all they are, is finer points. I don't know if they add anything to this. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. God's going to show up, and he's going to give him a lesson on lightning as well. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously. See, look at the words, you know, wind, whirlwind, lightning, rain, great rain. He's using a storm metaphor to talk about God. I say the same thing. I say God's going to cloud up and rain all over you. And I don't mean that in a blessing way. I mean when we displease him. He's saying that. He's saying it a little bit more eruditely than I do. God thundereth marvelously with great voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. That's true also. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain, into the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straitened. Now, he's hinting, he's at the edge, he's at the periphery of God's argument as well. What he's saying is God is awesome. He can do stuff that is way beyond us. And you're thinking like, so? Well, so. I mean, think about this. God's going to show up next chapter and ask 70 questions in the last chapters of the book, none of which Job's Job hits out of the park. No foul tip. Swing and a miss every time. He doesn't get any wood on the ball. He can't answer any of God's questions. And God is saying, like, the idea is like, well, I know this stuff, but you don't. Huh. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Is it God just showing off? No, the point is this. I know. What do you know? Well, I know. And what do you know? Well, how come this is like, Job, I'm God of the whole universe. I run the whole thing. You think I can run your life? I say to the ocean, hear and no father. Don't you think I can say to your sickness, hear and no father? I know how the whole thing works. Don't you think I know how to work things in your life? I can be trusted with snow, with rain, with storm, with beasts of the earth. I've got the whole thing going exactly. You think I lost track of you? Now, Elihu, he gets it. He's pointing to the magnificence that is God, and he's saying, you know, he's got some stuff going on. He's been God for a long time, and you're kind of questioning him. He's close, because God's going to come up in the next chapter and do the same thing. And I think that's as close as we get to an answer in the book. I don't know where I left out. Verse 10, by the breath of God, frost is given, the breath of the waters is straightened, but also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Like, for instance, a storm. And like, for instance, your life. Right? Are you suffering through Storm 101? The disciples did. How about Storm 102? Now he's not in the boat with them. Is that happening in your life? Yeah, those are mandatory courses. We go through the valley. Why? Because in the valley we learn about him in a way that, you know, he's the lily of the valley, right? Now we have our mountaintop experience. You say, I'm waiting for them. Well, they're few and they're far between. We don't live in the mountaintops, because that's not where life happens. Life happens mostly in the valley. We have to know that, you know, God's the God of struggling times financially, sickness. What's happened in our lives? Life. And we got to know that God's equal to the task ahead. We have to know that. Verse 12, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Now, here's the whole thing. What's going on in your life? This is what you want to consider. God's perfect in knowledge. What's going on in your life? Exactly what should be going on. Having said that, let me say this. I got a rather rude awakening yesterday. A friend of your days gone by is in jail. And someone who, like, would never, out of all the people in the whole wide world, would ever suspect. He's the least one, and for something he did wrong. He's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. What should be happening in his life right now? Jail. Now, I brought in this unlawfulness, and I'm in jail, and now God's saying, okay, in this set of circumstances, this is what I'm going to teach you through this, you man of God. Well, yeah, but that's because I did something stupid and I ended up in jail. Yeah, but I'm still God, so I'm going to... It's not that I wanted you to do stupid and end up in jail. My divine will for your life didn't include jail. You broke the law and you ended up in jail. Because otherwise, you know what it is? Everything that happens, because this is the problem with the sovereignty of God. Everything that happens, he's some divine chess master, and he's moving us around the cosmos like so many pawns, and I can't help myself being the way I am, and I ended up in jail. Why did you do this to me, God? No, stop. Stop. Wrong answer. You broke the law and you ended up in jail? Oh. Well, I'm still God. Let me bless. Let me show up. Let me grow you up through this. Let me help you. You see what I'm saying? He's sovereign over all the situations that we get ourselves into. But he doesn't rob us of our free will, does he? He's sovereign. But so are we. Okay? I don't know if I've made that. It's probably clear as mud in your thinking. But nobody actually knows this, exactly where his sovereignty ends and where ours begins. So I can't clear it up to the nth degree. But, you know, I was in a church, and it was a Calvinist church for a short time. They went back to California. I don't know. They left us. Probably I would have left them as I learned and realized where they were. Because the guy was big on the sovereignty of God. He says, like, you know, this is you. This is your life. And you got this narrow little in God's sovereignty. And, you know, he's just kind of running the whole show. And he just, you know, he saves you whether you want to be saved or not. He elects you. He foreordains you. He brings you into salvation. And he had all this, you know, these ideas about. And I thought, like, you know, I believe in the sovereignty of God. You can't make me believe any more than I already believe. But, you know, I sin a lot. And I don't blame him on that. That's me. That's on me. That's not on him. It's not like he's sovereign. I'm just a wicked person. I can't help it because but that's him. He's God. He's sovereign. I'm a bad, evil, wicked man. And it's God's fault because he's sovereign. No. You're shaking your head. No. Good, but that's what you understand. But he's still manipulating the whole thing. This isn't because Job did something bad, he ended up here. And God's God. God's controlling the whole thing. God's in charge. He's driving. He's disposing of everything the way he wants. He's causing... Dost thou know the balance of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? It's not like anything's going on, Job, that he doesn't know about. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. That's an interesting way to say it. I don't even know what to say. I'm so dark here, clueless is the idea. You know, dark, light and understanding, darkness and, well, ignorance or stupidity or cluelessness, however you want to say it. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. Now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north, which with God is terrible majesty. I wonder if this is a really storm coming, because you know God's descending on this whole little episode. I wonder if he's looking to the clouds and seeing this happening, or if he's just proposing a metaphor and God shows up and makes it a reality. As to touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and judgment, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now, God is speaking. He shows up in a whirlwind. What is that? I have no earthly idea. A tornado? I mean, I don't think so. It's not like class 5, you know, hurricane with tornadoes and cyclones and they're all, you know, being blown away or anything. He's speaking and there's a tempest. There's a... When he speaks, I would say that probably is tempestuous. It's... Now, if you really want to study these on through, he's going to talk about a lot of things, and he can give Job a science lesson. And you know what I don't want to do? Because I was listening to certain ones. Now, if you go through this with Chuck Missler, it's an entire blessing, okay? He's going to talk about the hydraulic cycle. He's going to tell you all of these little nuances. And with Hubble, we're finding out that the Pleiades is like this and like... But you know what I don't want to do? That. for a lot of reasons. One, I'll study all up that, and I'll share with you, and we'll be weeks and weeks going through this, and you don't want to. At the end of it, I don't know if it's a blessing. Two, Job didn't get the science lesson. Hubble hadn't been invented in Job's day. How would Job have received this? That's kind of more, because that's the lesson. That's where the message is. That's not, you know, I talk to you about all the wondrous works of God as we understand today in our scientific advancement. And by the way, if I would listen to myself in 10 years from now teach, and that it would be archaic because our science is advancing so rapidly, it would sound silly by comparison. And then again, Job didn't, he doesn't read our physics, our chemistry. He doesn't know about our scientific research at all. This is God talking to Job. And, okay, the Lord answered out of the whirlwind. And he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That, what is he saying exactly? I'm not sure, but it doesn't sound like a blessing. It's certainly not. Who's running off at the mouth here and doesn't know what they're talking about? That's what he's saying. Who is this that darkeneth counsel? Okay, this isn't counsel, it's darkness. It's not light. You're not shedding light on the situation. It's dark counsel by words without knowledge. Now, is he talking about Elihu? Is he talking about Job? Is he talking about all his counselors, Bildad and Zophar? I can't remember the first one's name. And then Elihu is the fourth one. Is he talking about all of them? I have an idea he's talking about all of them, because at the end he tells Job he tells all his friends that you better ask Job to make an offering on your behalf. He's mad at all of them. He said that you didn't. Here's God's commentary on all that just went on before, okay? 36 chapters, here's God's commentary. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That was absolutely words without knowledge. Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Gird up your loins. Remember that? We talked about that. You hike up your skirt, your robe. It's a skirt from where I come from. I don't. And you tuck all that in your belt. You're girding up your loins. Now you're ready for activity. And it's like an idea of like preparedness. He's saying, get ready, is what he's saying. Gird up your loins. Get ready, because we're going to some classes now. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Let's see you how well you do on this little pop quiz. I'm going to demand of you, and I want you to answer me, okay? Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. There is some sarcasm here, and if I sound sarcastic, I think I'm accurately describing. Because people who know this and they know the language saying, this is God's sarcasm. Like if I would say it like, hey, I remember when I put this world together. I don't remember seeing you there, buddy. You say, well, that's sarcastic. That's what God's doing. Where were you? Hey, I remember back then. I don't remember seeing you there. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. The silence is deafening. Job has got no response to any of these. When God finally calls on him to speak, you'll see at the end he says, I don't think I want to say anything, and he shuts up pretty quick. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know? Who hath stretched the line upon it? I measured it out. It's as big as I want it to be. How big is it anyway, Job? Did you measure it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? What's it built on? What's the foundation of the earth? You know, Job? Listen, in my science book, it was elephants on the back of a turtle. he's like, he don't say nothing, right? But this is God, quizzing him. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, That's he's talking about the foundations being fastened, the cornerstone being laid. The morning stars, evidently and obviously in my thinking, in most people's thinking, are the angels. And all the sons of God are definitely the angels. B'nai Elohim, that's the phrase. Ben, son, B'nai, sons of Elohim, sons of God. Sons of God always refer to a direct creation of God. You say, that's not true. That's not true. I know that in 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's exactly what I said. Sons of God are always a direct creation of God. How's that? Are we direct creation of God? Yeah, in our recreation. In our born-againness. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creation. Now, everyone else who's not sons of God by virtue of the new birth is a son of Adam. Sons of God is a phrase for direct creations of God. Who would that be? Let's see. Angels, you if you're born again, me. That's it. Direct creations of God. We are not by our birth. We are by our new birth, sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the sons of God. If everyone was sons of God, and people talk about like the universal fatherhood of God, in that sense, it's a myth. We're sons of God by a new birth in Christ. Sorry about that. When the morning stars sang together, so the morning stars sang. There's theology that says angels don't sing. And by the way, I kind of believe that. I think they will sing at the end of redemption, and they sang at creation. I think what stopped angels from singing is the fall. After the fall, we really don't see angels singing anymore. We see them celebrating about your conversion and mine when we became sons of God like they are. But they shouted for joy. They worshiped at creation. When are the angels created? Just before creation, I guess, at some point. Created pre-creation, apparently, because when God lays the foundation of the earth, when God said, let light be, is that when the angels came into existence too? I don't know. Just prior to that? Just after that? I don't know. When the morning stars sang again, all the sons of God shout out for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as it had issue out of the womb? Shut up the sea with doors. I have no idea what that means. Much of this, I mean, I know what the words mean, but I don't know what it means, like that the ocean is shut up with doors. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Now the whole thing there, verse 8 to 11, he's talking about the ocean, right? Who shut up the sea with doors, okay, as it broke forth out of the womb. He made the cloud the garments of what? The sea, right? Thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. What does that mean? I have no earthly idea. And he break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shalt thou come. You're not, okay. He birthed the ocean. And he said, here and no further. I know you get real proud waves and stuff like this, but here's the line I'm drawing and you can't go past that. Now, the question on the table is, Job, where were you when that happened? Now, is this very important? It's very important. I said to the ocean, here and no farther. Job, I'm saying to the sickness in your life, here and no farther. You with me on this? This is kind of the answer. If I can be trusted to build the ocean, and it's not a question of trusting, but he's doing it. He's not asking for permission. I can be trusted with the boundaries that I've set in your life, here and no farther. I know how to do this. Trust me on this. I've been God for a long time. I can take care of oceans. You don't think Think I can take care of your human body? This week, we're going to go through something. Even if it's just getting up at night to get a drink of water, and we bump our toe on the bedpost there, and so we're holding our toe, and we're hopping up and down on one foot, and our eyes are watering, and we're just trying not to use our bowling words, and remember that we're people of God, and we're doing this little dance there and stuff. Oh, and we're thinking at some point we're going to say, "Why me?" Because God, He's God. No matter what. Now, if that's the worst thing that happened to you all week, oh, you're going to have a good week. Oh, my goodness, you're going to have a good week. If that's the worst thing that happens to you all week long, that's a good week, right? But we're going to have real problems in our life. And at some point, we look heavenly, and we say, why? Because I'm God. I'm God. I just know what I'm doing. I can create everything. I can birth oceans. And they don't run everywhere willy-nilly. It's not like they're running over the desert on tops of mountains and down and wiping out everything. I'm totally in control. I know things look out of control, but they never are. I said here and no further. And that's, can I be trusted with your life? Here and no further? Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked might be shaken out of it? What is that all about? He's talking about morning, right? Dayspring. Those are early in the day words that, you know, it's talking about the break of day. That it may take hold of the ends of the earth. Does that do that? Yeah, a little bit at a time. That the wicked might be shaken out of it. They don't like morning. They like nighttime because we got to hurry up and, you know, finish burglarizing this place because the light's coming up and people are going to be waking up pretty soon. That's the idea. That the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Does the ocean have springs? Yes, it does. At least God thinks so. But we're discovering a lot of this stuff over the last few hundred years. And sometimes, you know, as we go down through this, we'll see that we've discovered these things over the last few decades. Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? How deep is deep? Marianas Trench, what is that, like 6,000 feet or something like that? It's like way deep. What is it? Oh, really? Who knew? I know it was like way down there. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? You wouldn't be able to get down that far anyway. Your head would explode. It's just tremendous pressures. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? You don't understand death. You don't understand the cessation of life. Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare if you know it at all. How big is the earth anyway, Job? Job wouldn't know that. We know it somewhat now. It's 8,000 miles across, so it's 24 something in circumference around. Now that we know that, I don't know what you're going to do with that. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? I know exactly how big it is. I know how many square inches it is, never mind square miles. I know how many grains of dust it is on the earth at any given time, and how many are being carried about in the air. He's saying, listen, I really know a lot. I really, really do. You can trust me, Job. I know what's going on. You're not escaping my notice. If I can be trusted with the earth, I can be trusted with your life. He's showing his wisdom. Know something about God's wisdom. It's not just like a harsh, he's our loving heavenly Father. Not only is he all wise, he's all loving. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou should know the path to the house thereof. Light and dark have a house, apparently. Knoweth thou, a dwelling place is the idea. Know thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hey, you must have been around a long time to figure all this stuff out, he's saying. Again, he's being sarcastic here. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Listen, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. What are you talking about? Those hailstones that hit the soldiers during the time of Jericho, the battle of Ajalon there. You remember the stones came out of heaven and wiped out all the people who were fighting against Joshua and his men. You remember that? Is that what he's talking about? Was he talking about the hailstones that have yet to fall during the time of the tribulation when we looked at that? And whether it's a Hebrew hailstone or a Greek hailstone, it goes from like 83 pounds to like 120 pounds. But at that time, something that heavy falling out of the heaven, I don't think you care if you hit with an 83-pound stone or 120-pound stone. It's gonna, either one's going to squash you flat. You won't like it. Is that the hailstones he's talking about? I don't know. Interesting to me that the wages for blasphemy in the Old Testament or for idolatry was stoning. So, you know, you think about how that's going to play out in the tribulation, you know. And it's interesting to me anyway. Maybe nobody else. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man? Look it, I rain way out where nobody lives. Well, why would you do that, God? We need the rain right here. He says, see, that's my point. I'm raining way out here. Why? Because it's a garden of weeds. Well, what happens with weeds? They're green. They give off chloroform. Is that chloroform? Chlorophyll. They take in oxygen. They take in carbon monoxide and give off oxygen. All green plants on the earth do that. More green plants, more oxygen we have. And it scrubs the environment from all the toxins and stuff like that, even where you don't live. Isn't that kind of important? God knows stuff like that. Oxygen's important. You're going to need that. So I'm going to grow some weeds way out here where nobody lives. I'm going to cause rain to happen way out even here. I'm totally on top of this, God's saying. I cause the rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Enough on that. Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven, and who hath gendered it? The waters are hid up with hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? We have so many stars out there. Many of them go unnamed. You can even buy a star, name it after your wife or something. Nobody cares. There's so many of them. It's like if I named a grain of sand, who cares? You know what I mean? And I register it with the International Sand Registry. There's a lot of sand around. Well, there's a lot of stars around. There's trillions. We don't even know. It's just so many of them. So you could even, spend some money and, buy your wife a star and name it after her. And it's the International Star Registry. And you get a little certificate. They're probably doing this every day of the week. They'll just pass these things out. You can call the sun after your wife. It don't matter. You know what I mean? Just you pay the right amount of money and we'll tell everyone that star's name is Susan. And there's so many of them. But this is like this Pleiades, we know him better as the Seven Sisters, and Orion is still Orion. It looks like it's chasing Taurus across the sky. It's in the southern hemisphere during winter. Not all these are seen. It's like 15 degrees off the horizon, right? Now, don't think we're talking about horoscope. People have taken this and they've made it into something that's, well, look at the sweet influences of the Pleiades. See? These stars influence us. That's what I was talking about. It's talking about gravity. They're affected by gravity. Can you talk to me about the gravity of this star system is what God's saying. Okay? When you were born has no influence on your life, obviously, for any rational thinking person. Otherwise, twins would have the exact same life, right? And by the way, have you seen this? You get two kids, and they're total opposites from the same parents. How does that happen? no matter what month they're born in. Right? And then you have your third kid, and you're scratching your head because you thought opposite only went in two directions. You have three totally different personalities, regardless of when they're born. They could be twins. They could be triplets. And they're going to be three entirely different people. It's called personality. It's got nothing to do with the influence of when they're born or much parental influence. People are people regardless of who their parents are. They have certain likes and dislikes. Now, you bring them up to the house and you expose them to this type of music and this type of food, and they will have a penchant for that and things like that. But you know how, you have a kid who's very quiet and studious and industrial, and then you have another one who's loud, brash, obnoxious, goes in a room mouth first, and they have another one who's like very thoughtful, and they're different personalities, and it's got nothing at all to do with. Everyone is what? See, I'm Scorpio, by the way, which thing I hate. Nasty old scorpion, right? I hate that. It's like a symbol for Satan. It's like saints are given power to crush scorpions and snakes, right? I don't like scorpions, so I'm bitter about this whole thing. Listen, my brother's born 3 days after me. Well, 3 years and 3 days. He's in the exact same. He's a Scorpio too, but everyone was born around the same time as me. We all have the same personality. It doesn't hold water. It's just silly. So when he's talking about the Pleiades and the influence of the Pleiades, please don't think in any silly way. I know you know better. Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth the Maseroth in his season? Maseroth is the whole system, the whole what we would call horoscopes, what we would call the all the different constellations. They have a Bible name too, and the Maseroth is the whole system. Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Do you know how the whole thing works, orbits and constellations, and do you get that all figured out? Do you know how stars are made, manufactured, how they burn out? Do you know any of that stuff? Do you know how planetary systems work? I do, he's saying. I got the whole thing. Do you ever notice the sky? It's like some ballet being played out. You know what I mean? Things are moving, planets move, you know, but they're working in their orbits and they're going through these different constellations. You can tell a lot about seasons and, you know, things like that. You can set your course by them and things and everything else. I set that whole thing up. All the things in your life, I've set it all up too. Do you know the ordinance of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Can thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, where we are? Here we are. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? Now let's talk about lions here just for a second, okay? Is there enough food out there for lions? How many lions are starving to death? I take care of lions. I'm the lion feeder. You say, well, you feed them with gazelles, but there's plenty of gazelles. Don't worry about it. Some animals hunt other animals. Some just eat grass and things like that. I'm in charge of the whole thing. Do you love the Nature Channel? No, I know there's always a voiceover guy, and he's making it sound like some magic, how just nature is this great harmony, and these things just kind of... No, it was put together there by incredible genius. I set the whole thing up to work. It's incredible. It really, really is. I mean, if you think all about it, I care about lions starving. I feed them. I feed ravens. You don't think I'm going to take care of you? Joe, if you think this all the way through... I know a lot of stuff. I know, and I'm good. What you're going through may be hard, But don't doubt me. Now, everyone comes and they opine, well, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this. What it is counsel without knowledge. It's words that are just dark. There's some truth sometimes. Now, is this helpful in this? When somebody's going through something, somebody loses a child, you're not supposed to bury your children. Does that ever happen? Yeah, it happens. People die? Yeah, people die. It's always a tremendously bad thing, and God, where were you when my great-grandmother died? And who wants to live to be 407 or 120 in this present age? If every time we prayed to God that people wouldn't die, how many people would be on the world? And there'd be people that's like 402 saying, please shut up and stop praying. I'm so ready to go. Isn't God wise? Doesn't God know how to be God? Now, I have an idea that, you know, saying this is one thing. Living through it is entirely another thing. One, you know, people ask why all the time. Listen, in this, if you're a pastor, or if people even perceive that you know something about God, the why question comes. I'm going to give you an answer, okay? You might want to get out a pencil and paper. This is the answer. I don't know. Let me give you a hug. I don't know. That's the answer, okay? Or you can be Job's friends. I take care of lions, okay? Will the hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens and they abide in their covert to lie in wait. Who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat. You know, I feed ravens, I feed lions. There's nothing I created that I don't care about. I created them and I sustained them. Lions have been around for a long time, since day one, day six of creation. I say day one, day six of creation. Ravens, they've been here since the first creation week, okay? Everything goes back to that. And God says, "I see how long-lasting it is? See how I've developed this and I've got this whole wonderful thing balanced out perfectly? I know how to do this." Whatever you're going through, you can trust me, God would say. Is that hard? Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it is. If we think it through, you know, and I always try to say that, you know, when you become a Christian, you've heard it, I even said it this morning, right? I don't want to promise people, it's all root beer and Skittles, you know, come to Christ and your life will be just wonderful. All the time. No. Life happens. It rains on the just and the unjust. People who love Jesus Christ suffer. And people who don't love Jesus at all suffer. So why would I come to Christ? What's the benefit? Because we're all going to suffer. At least we, at the end of it all, we go to heaven and be with our Heavenly Father forever. I would have a hard time at a funeral, bearing a child, if I didn't know God or believe in God, how do you go on after that? How do you? What answers do you have? How do you? I don't know. You know what I mean? Knowing God is better than not knowing God by a wide margin. I don't understand so much stuff, but I understand this. God understands, and he knows us, and he loves us. And that, if Job has an answer, that's the answer for me. That's all I know. And I don't know no more than that, so I'm not going to say anything more than that. Let's stand. Matt's going to come send us out of here in song. Lord, we thank you for your great wisdom, your great love, your incredibleness. As we think of the storms and lions and ravens and lightning and the seas and all these incredible things, the Pleiades, Lord, the Orion. There's nothing that we know about that you didn't create. You're incredible. You're the only wise God. And Lord, you've worked these things out so well. You finally tuned them to such a delicate balance. We can trust you with our lives. Even when we don't understand, we know that you do. And that gives some comfort, frankly, Father. It's good. It's good that you know and that you love. We praise and thank you for being a good and a gracious God. In Jesus' name,